Praise God. So church family, let's get right down to it, right? I want to ask a question in here today. If I asked you, do you know that you're living a life that's pleasing to God? What would your answer be? Do you know that you're living a life that meets God's expectations that he has for his people? What would you say? All right, I heard a couple of people, I'm trying, you know. I see a couple of heads not. I hope, right? I hope. Well, you know what? I was kind of hoping the answer was going to be a resounding and an emphatic, yes, I am. Right? Because that was going to lead me to my second question. So I'm just going to imagine that y'all said, yes, I am. All right? So if you said, yes, I am, then my question has to be, how do you know? How do you know that you are truly living a life that's pleasing to God? How do you know that God is truly pleased with the life that he's given you? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. Right? Because the truth of the matter is this. I think that the worst thing that could happen would be for a believer, a Christian, to die and find themselves in front of God and not hear those words of, well done, my good and faithful servant. We all want to hear those words, don't we? I mean, I'm asking you, hey, come on, talk to me. I don't know about you, but I'm telling you, when I kneel before the Lord in judgment on that day, I want God to truly be pleased with the life that I live for him here. And I'm not playing around about that. I'm here to tell you that I want to hear God. I want to hear the words from God where he says, well done, my good and faithful servant. You ran the race that I set before you. You weren't perfect, but you was running. You fell down sometime, but you got back up. Dusted yourself off, got back in the race. Is there any racers in the house today? Anybody running for God today? Amen. Praise God. Praise God. All right. I'm talking to the right people then. So I heard Reverend Bolden say something this morning as the worship leader. Thank you so much, Reverend Bolden, for leading us in worship. He said, God will be a lawyer in a courtroom. Is that true? Is that true? I got any witnesses in the house? All right, I see a few hands up. Praise God. Well, Reverend Bolden, you gave me the confirmation that I needed, that I'm on the right place. God gave me this thing, so praise God. Amen. So the title of today's message is called, Did You Know You Can Catch a Case? Did you know you can catch a case? You know, I got to be honest with you guys about something. My mom has went to be with the Lord. I used to call my mom like every day, and my mom lived in Chicago, for those of you all don't know, and sometimes I would talk to my mom and I'd say, Mom, how you doing, you know, and she'd be like, she kind of had one of those attitudes over the phone, and I'd be like, what's wrong, and she's like, you know, I almost caught a case. I said, you almost caught a case? What you talking about? She said, you know, I was out here driving. I believe it's some Chicago drivers that have came down to San Antonio. She would be driving. She said she'd be out driving. And I guess somebody, you know, pulled a move or whatever. And she said, now I'm going to let you fill in the blank, all right? But she said, blank will make you catch a case. Rhymes with ninjas. Anyway. So talking about catching a case, now that I got your hearts and minds in the right place, I'd ask that you stand up. We're going to read. We're going to come from the book of Micah, the 6th chapter, verses 1 through 8. When you have it, say amen. Amen. I heard a couple of amens. When you have it, say amen. All right. Praise God. The word of God reads as follows. This is the New Living Translation. It says, listen to what the Lord is saying. Stand up and state your case against me. Let the mountains and the hills be called to witness your complaints. And now, O mountains, listen to the Lord's complaint. He has a case against his people. He will bring charges against Israel. Oh, my people, what have I done to you? What have I done to make you tired of me? Answer me, for I brought you out of Egypt and redeemed you from slavery. I sent Moses, Aaron, and Miriam to help you. Don't you remember, my people, how King Balak of Moab tried to have you cursed and how Balaam, son of Beor, blessed you instead? And remember your journey from Achaia Grove to Gilgal, when I, the Lord, did everything I could to teach you about my faithfulness. What can we bring to the Lord? Should we bring in burnt offerings? Should we bow before God Most High with offerings of yearling calves? Should we offer him thousands of rams and 10,000 rivers of olive oil? Should we sacrifice our firstborn children to pay our sins? Oh, no. No, oh people, the Lord has told you what is good. And this is what he requires of you. To do what is right. To do what is right. To love mercy. And to walk humbly with your God. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and most importantly, the doing of his holy word. Praise God. You may take your seats. So, here we are in the book of Micah. Micah is one of the prophets, much like his contemporary Amos. Micah was kind of like a farmer. You know, he wasn't real schooled or anything like that. But it's amazing what God can do. Ain't no teacher like God. I know that's not proper grammar and everything, but ain't no teacher like God. God can take you whether you're a farmer. God can take you whether you're a city boy, city girl. God can take you whether you're up, you're down, you're in the middle. God says, I can give you an education that Harvard can't give you. Can't nobody teach you like God can teach you. Do I got any witnesses in the house today? I'm here to tell you, God can teach you. God can train you. Hallelujah. So here it is that God has sent his prophet Micah to go to, at this time, the kingdoms are divided, right? You guys know about the northern kingdom. And you know about the southern kingdom, right? I mean, I hear a few people. If you don't, y'all need to tune in to Bible study, all right? The kingdom of God, right, Israel, was divided. You had the 10 tribes that were the northern kingdom. You had the 2 tribes that were the southern kingdom, right? Okay, so Judah and Benjamin, they were comprised of the southern kingdom, right? And the other 10 tribes were the northern kingdom, okay? But he sent his prophet to go and tell them, I'm bringing a case against you. Now, what I want you to do with your holy imaginations is, I want you to imagine going to your mailbox. You know, we all go to the mailbox, maybe not as often as we used to. People used to go every day. Our mailbox, baby, I'm sorry, runs over sometime. But anyway, can you imagine going to your mailbox and there's a certified letter in your mailbox and it's from God? You open it up. This got to be important. You open up that letter, and in it, God says, I'm bringing charges against you. I'm taking you to court. And I intend to prove in court that you're guilty of the charges that I brought against you. Help us, Lord. That's basically exactly what God has done. God has sent his mouthpiece, this prophet, to go and tell them, I'm bringing a case against you. I'm bringing charges against you. You, my people. Does not the Bible tell us that 1 Peter chapter 4, somewhere in there it says, and judgment begins at the house of God first. I'm here to tell you, if you're sitting under the sound of my voice and you're a Christian, I'm here to tell you that God takes this thing serious. We might play around, but I'm telling you, God don't play around. I'm here to tell you, when God says, I have a standard for how I want you to live as my representative, as my ambassador, wherever you go, you represent me. Wherever you go, people should see me in you, through you, hear you. When they hear you, they should be hearing me. God says, if you're not taking it serious, but I am, and I'm going to hold you accountable. I'm going to hold you accountable. So I'm here to tell you, I know I probably don't get a whole lot of amens today, but that's all right. I brought my own. Amen. I brought my own. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. So here's the deal. We go to verse 1. Hear what the Lord says. Arise and plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear you, mountains, the indictment of the Lord. For the Lord has an indictment against his people, and he will contend with Israel. God, look at the beauty of this. God says the courtroom is going to be creation. The jury is going to be made up of the mountains. The mountains and the hills are the jury. God says, before you guys ever start watching Law and Order, God says, I'm the original Law and Order. Because God's word is law, and God wants everything decent and in order. Come on and talk to me. Praise God. So here God says, I want the mountains to hear. Because I'm up. But you know, in San Antonio, I see these commercials all the time about these lawyers and stuff like that. You know, you can't halfway have a TV on without a lawyer, injury lawyer or somebody on there. And one thing I've come to know about these lawyers, right? You know, like Thomas J. Henry, Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer. You guys know about Jim Adler? The Texas Hammer, right? You guys know. One thing about a good attorney is they got to be able to build that case. They got to be able to build that case up. They got to be able to make it to where the jury, when they hear them, the jury wants to say, I believe him. I believe what that, he's right. That attorney is right. Well, I'm here to tell you, can't nobody state a case and make a case like God. The best lawyer in the courtroom is God himself. But God says, I want the mountains to hear, right? And God goes on to say, now, before I give you a chance to talk, before you get on the defense stand, God says, I want to remind you, I've did some things for you. I want to remind you before you start saying anything, I want to take you down a trip in memory lane. God says to him, but haven't I been good to you? He says, who is it that brought you out of Egypt, out of slavery? Wasn't it me? You was in bondage for 400 years, but how quickly we forget. How quickly we forget. Then he turned around, he says, and if that wasn't good enough, he said, you remember when Balak wanted to have you guys have a curse put on you? And he tried to use Balaam to put a curse on you, but I made Balaam bless you. That's the God that we serve. Instead of us having curses, our God says, I bring you blessings. Amen? Who in here would rather have God's blessings, or who wants to be under the curse? I want to have God's blessings. I don't want to live under a curse. I want to have God's blessings. So God is stating his case, right? And what can they do other than nod their head and say, well, I guess you're right about it. Lord, it sounds, yeah, I guess you did do that. But here's the deal. God's people had been living such a way that God had to bring charges against them. I believe why God gave me this message today is it's an on-time message for the church today. I believe if we look around, and I'm not talking about LFCC, okay? I'm talking about one of those other churches. All right, pastor, so we still good, okay? All right? I'm talking about some of these other churches, but I'm talking about the church as a whole. I'm not joking around now. I'm talking about the state of the church as a whole. I believe that the church is falling down. I don't believe the church is standing up. The church is falling down. The church is missing the mark. As God's people, we're called to be the light that shines in the darkness. As God's people, when they want to know which way is the way to go, God's people are the ones that are supposed to be able to say, follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. We ought to be able to point them to the cross and say, that's the way to go. If you want to know the way to go, that's the way to go. We're supposed to lead them to the cross. And you know, since some people, you know, the only Bible that they ever going to read is going to be you, they ought to come to know that God is a real God when they're talking to you. They ought to come to know that the Bible is God's word when they're talking to you. If you don't know God's word, how can they know God's word? We need to stand up instead of sitting down. God has not called us to sit down. God has told us to stand up. God has called us to action. We're not called to sit down and become comfortable. God says, I want you to get up I want you to get busy. I want you to start running for me. I want you to start talking for me. I want you to start living for me. Too much of the time we living for ourselves. Too much of the time we doing what I want to do. God says it can't be about you. It has to be about him. Amen. Amen. Don't worry about it. I brought my own amens. We're going to be all right. Praise God today. Now, you know, at this point, you know, Israel has to answer God. They're called the defendants. Amen. My wife watched a lot of Law and Order. I remember. You remember, baby? SVU. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. We read in verses 6 and 7, it says, with what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? That's Micah 6 and 7. God asks Israel, what have I done to make you treat me this way? And the people respond basically with, what more do you want from us? Sound familiar? The people of Israel are saying, we offer our sacrifices just like you told us. What more do you want from us? More sacrifices? How about if we give you thousands of sacrifices or 10,000? Or maybe you want us to take our children and put them on the altar to sacrifice to you, God? What's it going to take to make you happy, God? Putting it in today's terms, it would be like us saying, God, we go to church. Well, I'm looking around. Pastor, some of them ain't even doing. Anyway, nephew, you here. So you on time, nephew. I see you. All right. Praise God. Okay. All right. We go to church. Hey. We put our money in the collection plate every week. I mean, only y'all can answer that. Okay. And we turn around, we read our Bibles, and we pray every night. Well, a lot of nights. Well, wait a minute. Some nights. One night. What more do you want from us? Look at your neighbor. I want you to look at your neighbor. And say, neighbor, do you know you can catch a case? Hallelujah. All right. Can you sense the sarcastic tone in their questions? But the question itself is not a bad question. What does it take to make God happy? It's important that we know what God expects from us. Have you ever been blindsided with a bad review at work when you thought you were doing a good job and you get that performance feedback and you know, next thing you know, your boss is and wrote you down. You know, you in the middle. They putting you in the middle. You thought you was to the far right. Like, I'm doing everything. I'm exceeding expectations. And your boss is saying, well, you know, not from my vantage point. That would be like the worst thing, right? Then you wind up getting let go because you thought you was doing good, but your boss said you weren't doing good. Well, wait a minute. In today's administration, I guess that doesn't matter. You can be doing a good job and still, so y'all, that don't count for today's administration. Pray for them, all right? How tragic it would be for us to go to church Sunday after Sunday and give thousands of dollars in our tithes and offerings and read our Bibles and pray every night, only to find out that we completely missed the point, that God expected something else altogether. So what does God expect from us? Verse 8 is the key. God answers that question. The first part of verse 8 says, he has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. So anybody in here, I know I've been in school. A lot of times, once the professor's been going on for a while, a lot of times we done lost a whole lot in translation. You should not leave out of here today and not be able to say, you don't know what God expects from you. Yeah. God expects three things. He made it simple. You ain't got to go all through the whole Bible and everything like that. You ain't got to be like, you know, the guy who said, well, Lord, I would follow you, but I don't know which commandments. There's so many of them. And God says, but I got your answer. Remember he told him, if you just follow these two commandments. You remember he told him, all the other commandments hang off of these two right here. What did he say? Love your God with all of your heart, your soul, and your mind, right? And the second is likened to the first. Love your neighbor as you love. You remember, God broke him down. The guy thought he had God. He thought he had Jesus. Like, it's so many commandments. God says, I can break this thing down and make it simple for you. So here we are today. God says there's three things that he's saying I expect of my people, right? To do what's right. To love mercy and kindness. And to walk humbly with your God. Those three things. If you can do those three things, you can say, God, we good? So when I ask you the question the next time, do you know that you're living a life that's pleasing to God? Do you know that the life that you're living is meeting God's expectations? You should be able to say, preacher, I know I am. You know how I know I am? Because I do what's right. Not what I think is right, but what God says is what's right. The only way you can do what God says is what's right is you got to be reading what? You got to be reading the Word of God. Come on, somebody, talk to me now. If you ain't in the Word and the Word ain't in you, you can't know that you're doing what's right. God has given us the Bible, basic instructions before leaving earth as our instructions for righteous living. If you're not in the Word, you don't know if you're living righteously. It takes God to tell you if you're living righteously. It takes God to tell you when you did a misstep. It takes God to tell you when you hit the target. It takes God to tell you when you missed the mark. Somebody needs to come on and give God some praise in this place today. Hallelujah. 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 If you want to really hear those words, well done, my good and faithful servant, you got to know that you're in the Word. You got to know what God, you said. That's what I tell God. God, what you said. That man ought to always pray. God, you said that if I humble myself, that in due season, you'll exalt me. God, you said. See, you got to take it back to God's word. See, what God loves to hear, he loves to hear his word. When God hears you saying his word, when you're standing up on God's word, God says, now you're talking, now you're talking, now you're speaking my language. Hallelujah, praise God in this place. Hallelujah, praise God. So now that we know that God has answered their questions of what it takes, I just want to spend just a little bit of time, and I want to hit those three points. If y'all bear with me just a little bit, right? The first point is to do justice, to do what's right. We're not to just think about justice or just wish for justice or just want justice. God tells us that we're to do justice, that we're to do what's right. That's an action. It's something we live out. We should be a people who do justice. You know, in the world that we're living in today, right here in San Antonio, it's too many times that we see people, the oppressed, the down and out, the lost, the forgotten about. It's too many times that we see them, but we don't see them. Yes. It's too many times that I'll say a prayer, but I won't lend a hand. It's too many times that, well, that's somebody else's job. You know, they should have planned better. You know, they made some mistakes. They should have did this. They should have invested in their 401k. They should have had more in their thrift savings plan. You know, it's something that they did. And maybe it is. I don't know. But here's the thing. When you see them, you should see God. Because I'm here to tell you that God cares about the lowest, yes, all the way up to the highest. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I really believe that God has a tender place in his heart for those that are lost, yeah, for those that are oppressed, for those that society looks down on, for those that people count out. Yes. They say they ain't about nothing, they ain't never going to be nothing, you can't never amount to nothing. I'm here to tell you, when people count you out, when people say you won't, God says you can. Yes. God says you can. And you know how I know that that's true? My life is a living testimony that that's true. I can't tell you I can't tell you. I just don't have the time to say it. But I'm here to tell you, at one point in my life, I was living out of a car. I remember my dad used to say, you ain't never gonna amount to nothing. He probably had a reason to say it. I gave him some ammunition. I mean, that's just real talk. But I'm so glad that God had a different plan for my life. I'm so glad that God had a different plan for my life. So be careful when you put somebody down. Be careful when you count them out. Because I'm here to tell you, it ain't over until God says it's over. And I found out on this journey, God delights himself in picking the one that you least expect. The one that you never saw coming, that's the one that God says, that's the one I want right there. Because in it, people come to know, man, it's got to be a God, because ain't no way. Not Michael ain't going to be preaching. What? Do you know, I used to run with Michael. I remember some of the things we used to do. But I'm here to tell you, but God, hallelujah, praise God. But what does it mean to do justice? The Message Bible translates it this way: do what is fair and just to your neighbor. In other words, Micah is calling us to treat everyone we meet fairly, viewing them as someone who is just as worthy of God's mercy and grace as you are. Everybody you come in contact with, I don't care who they are, they deserve God's grace and mercy from you just like you deserve it, right? God showed grace and mercy to you. God expects you to show it to others. Amen? And I think that's part of it. But I believe what Micah is calling us to do goes further than that. It's not just the idea of treating others the way we want to be treated. Rather, it's a desire to work for justice for everyone in society, especially for the most vulnerable. For the ones that don't have a voice, will you be their voice? For the ones that don't have a platform, will you use your platform? For the ones that say, hey, they ain't gonna be willing to hear from me, but God has put you in a position, and because of the God that you serve, you have a place, you have a platform, you have a position, you have a voice. But will you become that voice for the voiceless? God says, I'm calling on you to speak for the forgotten. I'm calling on you not to forget the forgotten, to show that somebody remembers the forgotten, and that somebody, most importantly, is God, and God is using you to show somebody else that that person matters. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. I don't care whether they're a drug addict. I don't care whether they're a prostitute. I don't care if they're in a jail cell. I don't care where they are. If they're under the bridge, God says, I care about them. They got a soul that God says, I care about them. Yeah. They are made in God's image, and God says, I care about them. And if God cares about them, you ought to care about them too. Amen. Praise God. We're going to go on to point number two. I think we're doing all right on time, Pastor. All right. Point number two. God expects his people to love mercy and kindness. The word here for kindness is actually a very difficult Hebrew word to translate. Some translations say love kindness or love mercy or love faithfulness or love goodness. The Hebrew word is one that you may have heard of. It's called chaste. I don't know if I pronounced that right. I looked to Reverend Dexter as the Hebrew expert here in the house. I'll get with you offline. Okay. The idea of this word, according to most biblical scholars, is it's a kindness or a mercy that is loyal, unfailing, and doesn't give up, even when the person we're being kind to doesn't deserve our kindness. It's a covenant love. In other words, I love you because I have promised that I will love you. I have made a covenant, a commitment to love you. And so my covenant love will cause me to be kind and merciful and caring to you no matter what. Hallelujah. I believe if we exhibited more of that, more marriages would work out. I believe if we exhibited more of that, more families parents and children would have better relationships with one another. I believe if we exhibited more of that, more church members would have love one for another. You know, it's sad to say that sometimes we hear about in a church, well, I don't care for that person. I don't care for that person. In the church? In the church? In the church? Where are you getting that from? Because that's not what God has called for. God has called us to love kindness, to love mercy, to show mercy to others like God has shown you. Yes. You know, if you can't say, if you can't think of anything else, you ought to be able to look at your own life and say, is it true? God, have you shown mercy to me? Has God been merciful to you? Yes. You know what mercy is? Yes. Church people, do y'all know what mercy is? Mercy is where God is saying, I'm going to withhold something from you that I have a right to do to you. God says it would be right for me to strike you down right now. You've broken my commandments. You've broken my laws. Each and every one of you under the sound of my voice, starting with me first. But in God's mercy, he says, I'm not going to do to you what you deserve. So if you can't say nothing else, you ought to be able to look at your own life and say, you know what God is saying is true here. My time is almost up. So with that being said, God expects us to extend that same mercy to others. God says you ought to have mercy. You ought to exhibit kindness to everybody you come in contact with. Because in doing so, people come to know that God is real. When you're able to deal with that person on your job, that person in your neighborhood, whatever it is, that person who they won't cut their grass, they don't want to keep their yard together, and that yard is right next to yours, and you're like, my property value. Anyway, instead of getting all mad when you see them, because when they get out of the car, y'all coming out at the same time, you know, you catch yourself, you don't even want to. But God says, No, God says, no, I want you to speak to him. Hey, neighbor, how you doing? Hey, praise God. Good to see you. Hey, you have a good day at work today? All right. Okay. Hope everything is all right. Hey, when you get a minute, cut that grass. Amen. Praise God. Let me think about this. God wants us to express, you know, show mercy and kindness to everybody, to go the extra mile. You can probably think of a store or a restaurant that goes above and beyond what is expected by delivering a quality customer care experience for you. For me, Chick-fil-A. There's my wife. We together. And, you know, I think about it, Chick-fil-A. When you go to Chick-fil-A, not only is the chicken good, man, it's seasoned so good. Not only is the chicken good, right? But I ain't never been there. I'm being serious now. I've never been there and had a bad experience like with the staff or anything like that. I don't know what kind of training program they got for Chick-fil-A, but I'm telling you, they need to put that thing out everywhere, because every time I go there, right? Every time I go there, the people are so pleasant, right? And they always say after they give me my food, hey, God bless you. Have a blessed day. Have a blessed day. I say, hey, you're speaking my language. All right. Praise God. It makes me want to keep going back to Chick-fil-A. You know what I'm talking about? But the chicken is good, too, all right? Got to say that, right? But when was the last time you wanted to do business with a company or a restaurant or a place where the service is poor, right? Hey, they got an attitude. It seemed like, you know, I didn't come here to work today. What? You clocked in. Yeah, don't come here telling me I didn't come here for all that today. I don't want to spend my money and keep going back there, right? God wants us to be kind. God wants us to show mercy to everybody. Amen. And in it, somebody gets to know that God is for real. Praise God. Amen. All right. Praise God. So God calls us to do justice, to love kindness. And lastly, God calls us to walk humbly with him. None of these three requirements are easy, but this one seems particularly difficult, right? How do we stay humble in a culture that puts so much high value on having it all and being it all? We live in a culture that just screams, it's all about me. Hallelujah. Somebody tell the truth now. That's what it is. But as God's people, we're told, humble is the way. and that we're to esteem others higher than we esteem ourselves. We're told to have a servant's heart like Jesus. Hallelujah. Starting with our pastor and First Lady, Sister Jackie, like all the selfless brothers and sisters here at LFCC, like Brother Terrence and Sister Karen and their commitment to serving the homeless. I see you, Brother Karen. I see you, Sister Karen, Brother Terrence. I'm so blown away by what you guys do for Cub Ministry. Every time I go out there, it warms my heart. Praise God. I love what you do. Praise God. Hey, what about the brothers and sisters that came out together yesterday so that we could serve one of our own in their time of need? Each and every person who came out yesterday that was part of the we went out and we helped move the sister into her storage unit. If you're here today, I want you to stand up. If you participated, I want you to stand up. 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 Praise God. When you see these folks, and it's not just all of these folks, but it's more. These folks came out there yesterday, and they did it. They rolled up their sleeves. I'm telling you, we had a convoy of pickup trucks. I thought I was at a dealership or something. So many people came out to help out. And I'm telling you, you know, they say many hands make for a lighter load. And I'm here to tell you, when you're doing a job, and even though the job itself might not be a pleasant job, maybe the job is a little bit hard, but somehow or another, when we come together, when we come together in faith, when we come together with the mind of Jesus, when we come together with a servant's heart, when we come together to give God the glory, the job ain't as hard as it would be. I'm here to tell you, we start joking around. We start messing around. Brother Allen started making fun of me. Allen, you always make fun of me, all right? Slow down, okay? But what I'm trying to say is we had an awesome time. The job itself might kind of seem like, you're lifting a lot of boxes, you're doing a lot of lifting and stuff like that. You're on a Saturday, but I'm here to tell you, it was a blessing. It was a blessing. It was a blessing. It was a blessing. We blessed that young lady, but most of all, we blessed each other because we spent time with each other. And in it all, God gets the glory. That's what it's all about. God gets the glory. Hallelujah. 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 The word walk, as I said at the beginning of this message, Micah doesn't call us to be a people who merely embrace the virtues of justice, kindness, and humility. He calls for action. We're to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly. The second word is humbly. That is what I saw yesterday. That's what I saw yesterday. I saw in person what it looks like. Amen. I saw in person what it looks like to walk humbly with God through the people of God. You see, you know, you got to get this. Walking humbly with God isn't like, hey, you know, God, you got God right there and you guys are holding hands and stuff like that. Walking humbly with God is in random acts of kindness. When God's people lower their own, hey, my pride is not about me. What can I do to be a blessing to someone else? Jesus said it best. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve others. If we're going to follow after Jesus, church, we got to get this. If we're going to follow after Jesus, we have to have a servant's heart. We have to have a servant's heart and a servant's mind. We have to be willing to, when the call goes out, too many times people tell you, hey, if you ever need anything, I'll be there. But that's not the truth. But yesterday, that was a call to action. And those brothers and sisters showed up, and I'm so thankful to be serving with you. I'm here to tell you. That's what walking humbly with God looks like. And God got the glory. So as I prepare to take my seat, I want you guys to remember something. I want you to know that you know that you know that you're living a life that meets God's expectations. That you're living a life that pleases God. And you'll know that when you search your heart and examine yourself in the Word of God, as God's Word says, these are the three things that I require of you. To do justice, to love kindness and mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. You know, God is a good God. I don't want to go through the motions when it comes to God. I want to run this race because I don't know how much time I have. But with whatever time I have left here, I want to be the best that I can be for God. This is the word of God for the people of God. May God bless you.
Amen. Let's praise God again for... Amen for Reverend Boykin. What a word, what a word. Do you know that you can catch a case? Newsflash. We all call it a case. Some of y'all remember that popular television show, How to Get Away with Murder. Here's the reality. In this life, it may seem like we get away with some things, but before a sovereign God, you don't get away with anything. I love what Reverend Mike said from Micah, that what God requires of us, if we were honest with each other, if I were honest with you, what God requires, I don't always live up to it. But one thing I'm glad about, I've got a defense attorney that took my penalty, my shortcomings, all of my sins, and he nailed it to Calvary's cross. And because of the blood of Jesus, because of the blood of Jesus, because of the blood of Jesus, that I can stand boldly and say, I'm saved. I'm saved because of him, and I'm free because of him. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned and fallen short. Not y'all, but all. And we get away with nothing, but the good news is that God sent his son, Jesus Christ, into the world to die for your sins and my sins. And for that, we can be grateful. If you're here today, if you're here today, and you're not in a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, that doesn't mean that you know every scripture, you can quote every scripture, dot every I, cross every T, but you know that Jesus died for your sins. If you don't know that today, we want you to know that. If you are a born-again believer, you're not connected to a local church somewhere, we invite you to make Living Faith Community Church your church of choice. We say your church home, a church where we're connecting real life to a real faith. We've all caught a case. And the only way to overcome that case is not by anything we can do. It's only by the work of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, thank you for this word today. God, thank you for the man of God that shared today's word. God, we thank you for Jesus Christ because we know, God, that without him we are not right before you, that we sin and we fall short, oh God. But you sent your son into the world. He gave his life for us, and for that we are grateful. Father, I pray right now for that heart. I pray for that person right now that may be struggling in their faith. They're struggling even in this moment, oh God. They've heard the word of God come forth. God, let your word do what it does in the targets of the hearts of your people right now. God, save by the power of your Holy Spirit. Move by the power of your Holy Spirit. Draw by the power of your Holy Spirit. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise God. Amen. And so if you are here today, one of two categories, that you are saved, but you are not a part of a church where you can worship with other believers, serve with other believers, we invite you today. Our ushers are standing in the aisle. Their hands are extended. They'll take you to room number one, and we'll gather some information. We'll welcome you with open arms. That category, or you don't have a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, that I'm talking to you right now. I'm talking to you right now. Listen, yesterday is gone. Tomorrow is not promised. The Lord wants you to have a relationship with him right now and today. You don't know what's going to happen on tomorrow. And so won't you receive him today? And if what I'm saying is still confusing you and you're still trying to figure all of this out, listen, meet one of our new member ministry advisors in room number one following the service. Or you can get up right now from where you are. Just get up from where you are. They will explain this to you. They'll explain the gospel of Jesus Christ, the message of Jesus Christ. They'll explain to you what salvation is. Just get up. As an act of faith, you feel the tugging in your heart. As an act of faith, get up from where you are and follow them out right now. Amen. And if you're concerned that people are watching you, listen, don't worry about that. After the service, there will still be someone in room number one. They will meet with you. And they would explain to you the gospel of Jesus Christ, or they would welcome you with open arms. And the church said, amen. Amen. Praise God.